The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect that of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
And good morning, everyone, and thank God it's Friday. It's okay over here, you know. Sun's out, but got a little haze attached to it. But we're going to be okay. This is Analyze This here on 93.1 FM WTJX Radio, NPR here in the United States Virgin Islands. My name is Neville James. And, you know, right off the bat, you know, I want to send out well wishes to the President and the First Lady. They have apparently tested positive for COVID-19, so wishing them well and a speedy recovery. I just read on Twitter, the Vice President and the Second Lady, they've tested negative. And also just read that Democratic nominee, Joe Biden, and his wife, they're going to get tested this morning, make sure everything's all right. So let's get that housekeeping out the way. Hope everybody is well as can be, given the marathon pandemic that we're dealing with here, COVID-19, in and throughout, apparently, the year 2020. Let me knock out the local numbers real quickly and then get to our guests. We got Island Green joining us this morning, and then in the second hour, number 15 on St. Croix, James Monarch Wakefield is supposed to be our guest on the candidate speak. Our local COVID numbers, the big number, 21,023. 12 of those are pending. So of the 21,011 people tested, we have 1,326 positive cases, 19,685 negative cases. And yesterday was a very good day on St. Croix and St. Thomas. Not so much on St. John, even though they had 51 negatives, there were 4 positives. But on St. Thomas, 93 negatives, 0 positives. On St. Croix, 93 negatives, negative 1 on the positive side. So apparently, there may have been a false positive. So overall, 237 negatives, 4 positives, and then we had the 1 negative positive. the one that was originally negative, positive, and now is no more. Okay. Nationally, somewhere around 7.4 million on average between the New York Times and worldometer.info, and our fatalities are somewhere around 210,000. Okay, yesterday was pretty flat on Wall Street. The Dow closed at 27,816.90, up 35.2 points, just over a tenth of a percent. Of the 30 blue chip companies, 14 were up and 16 were down, but it was pretty much a flat day. United Health Group was on the positive side, and that's a good thing. Okay. It's my understanding that the Island Green leadership, Mr. Harith Werikma and Ms. Kelly Lawson, are on the line. Good morning to the leadership of Island Green. How are you?
Hello, Senator. How are you? This is Harith.
How are you doing, Harith?
Good to talk to you again after a long time.
In a long time, yeah. On this show, you call me Neville.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Good morning, Neville. This is Kelly.
Hi, Kelly. How you doing?
Thanks for having us. Good, thank you. How are you this morning?
Good. Both of you on St. John today?
Yes.
Yes.
How's the weather?
It's overcast where I'm at, but pleasant. It's so nice out.
Mr. Warwick, I see you kind of struggling to tell me about the weather. What's up?
Well, I was going to say, for me, every day, is even when there's high wind, it's still beautiful views, and except hurricane time, I guess.
Okay, that's good. That's good. Well, in the Virgin Islands, we have two seasons, rainy season and non-rainy season. So right now we're supposed to be in a rainy season and the showers are more frequent, but we'll take it like this as opposed to 2017. Island Green, first of all, I'm aware of who Island Green is, but for those who are listening and never heard of Island Green, please give a overview of what Island Green is, what it represents, and what it attempts to do.
Well, Island Green Living has been in existence since 2004, and we started as Island Green Building Association. Then it morphed into Island Green Living Association, and now we're calling Island Green to make it easier. And basically, Kelly Lawson is our first full-time paid executive director. We never had any other paid full-time employee because we've been doing on a volunteer basis all this work. What our mission basically is to bring about a zero waste initiative, to promote and educate the public on renewables. And basically our problem here in St. John is mainly sending so much of waste to Bavoni landfill, and that's overflowing, and find ways to reduce that. Our signature, I'm going to have Kelly jump in and talk about some of our main signature resource report. Kelly, you want to go ahead?
Sure. Yep. Thank you, Harris. Like Harris said, we aim to reduce the amount of material headed to the landfill and instead view it as a resource that we can reuse here on the island. So we're always thinking of ways to do that. Before I came on board in 2012, Island Green started what's called the Resource Depot. And the main purpose of the Resource Depot, it's a thrift store, kind of modeled after Habitat for Humanity's Restore that many people are familiar with. Originally, it accepted building materials that were salvaged from job sites, either over-ordered and or just leftover supplies or got the wrong item. So we have lumber, screws, anything with dealing with construction. And we've kind of expanded, so we have some household items, furniture, anything that people may be done with at their place, and it's still perfectly good, and so we sell to the community, and the revenue from that program goes to continue it. And to this date, we've managed to keep over 300,000 pounds of material from diverted from the landfill. So it's a great program, and St. Johnians really love coming up to the Resource Depot every week, and we have regulars that come and try to get there when we first open to see. You never know what's going to be there. Some materials coming in and going out all the time. So, and we have people call in asking us if you have a dresser this week. You know, if you have, I'm looking for this or that. And so, it's a great program for people to, you know, if you need something quickly or you'd rather spend, you know, less money or buy something that's perfectly good but has been used and avoid having to buy something new. So, yeah, that's one of our bigger programs. And then we also have the aluminum recycling program. We just sent our second load in 2019. We sent our first load of aluminum to Puerto Rico to some recyclers over there. And so we have kept over 500,000 cans out of going to the landfill, and that's a program that largely run on volunteers. The community members that know about the program save their aluminum cans and bring them up to our site. We have a drop-off facility at Connections in Cruise Bay as well, and we service that. We process the cans on our site largely with volunteers coming and helping us sort out the cans that aren't recyclable, and we bale them. We have a small can crusher on site. We crush the cans, bale them, and we've sold, like I said, just our second load to a recycler in Puerto Rico just earlier last month.
And Kelly,
yes,
Neville, if I may interject here, to keep the carbon footprint neutral, when we are sending it to Puerto Rico, we don't we get a deadheading barge to take it. So.
Mm-hmm. So the Norma H has generously donated their backhauling empty basically to Puerto Rico, and so they took our cans for us at no charge to Island Green, which greatly helped the program.
It happened on both occasions. They were willing donors, so it didn't really impact the environment, as well as Michael Marsh came in with trucking help to take it to the port. And they're all volunteering because it's Saturday and they want to give back to the community. And the first time in Shakima Jones, I mean, they're all island administrator. It's really opportunity that most people like to be part of. And some of the tourists, before they arrive, call and ask, can we volunteer for half a day? So this recycling, now we have sent 800,000, but just imagine if we can do this in all three islands, and that will have a major impact on the landfill. And then we can promote it to the plastic. And like in other states, source separation, that bill is in the legislature that need to get passed. But passing bill is one thing, implementing is another, and enforcement. And I'm sure, Neville, you'll agree that you've passed many wonderful bills. But we passed our plastic bag bill, but it's not been enforced, or compliance not there. We passed our sunscreen, and some of the stores, I understand, are still carrying sunscreen that are toxic. But when there are over... in hundreds that are approved sunscreen that could be used in the island. So plastic straws are banned as well. But all this is done because we are a tourism-based economy, and once our marine life, the coral, it's already got other issues from global warming to the coral diseases. When they go away, when coral dies and the marine life dies, and there's a ripple effect, and tourists will not, there'll be lesser number of tourists coming because no more snorkeling or diving to see what they want to see here, wonderful, beautiful underwater. And then our economy will suffer. But most, unfortunately, some of the businesses do not see that it will impact them. They are short-sighted, and they're continuing to fight what the wonderful Senate and the governor have introduced legislature and still having the wrong kind of sunscreen, and continue to sell it, still using plastic bags. And we as consumers, at least if we get it, dispose it appropriately. But again, when you go to landfill, it just keep piling up. Reuse, recycle, and reduce the consumption.
Well, you know, the I don't want to harp on what role... the legislature that I happen to be a part of had to do with supporting these initiatives via legislation. So we'll digress from that, right? What we're attempting to do is to get the word out that a more collective commitment to a cleaner environment is in the best interest of everybody. Correct?
Yes. Yes.
Right.
Okay. Good. So once we do that, and we're using this medium here today to that end, I think we can only do what we can do. What I'm hearing here is impressive. 300,000 pounds, you said, or cans?
Cans.
Yeah, that was the 300,000 pounds. You're right.
300,000 pounds. Mm-hmm. So
we weighed.
So that's 150 tons. What's he saying? Or 15 tons? 15 tons.
Right.
Wow. Wow, that's significant. I'm going to do the math, and we'll get it right. We're going to take our first break. We take a break at the 20 and at the 40. And then when we come back, we'll talk about how this whole thing started and how do we expand it and how do we get the Department of Education involved so that the children could embrace this thinking from a very young age. Okay, that's good with you?
Yes,
absolutely. Sounds
okay,
great.
Good. We got Harith Warikma and Miss Kelly Lawson from Island Green. When we come back, we're going to give their actual titles. I know Miss Lawson's executive director, I think he said, but Mr. Warikma, you know, he's the big shot here. And he has a good history with the waste management as well. So we're going to talk about that. I know it didn't work out like he wanted it to, but things happen. We'll be back right after this.
Tune in to Conversations with AARP Virgin Islands. Listen and watch to get news and information on upcoming events, as well as informed conversations with agencies and community organizations.
On WTJX-TV Channel 12, Fridays at 8:30 p.m., Sundays at 2 p.m., Saturdays streaming live on AARP Virgin Islands and WTJX's Facebook page, Tuesdays at 11, and live 11 a.m. at 93.1 WTJX-FM, Conversations with AARP Virgin Islands.
These days, people go to great lengths to shed the stress of daily life. There's acupuncture, deep tissue massage, meditation, yoga. I'm Mary Louise Kelly. At All Things Considered, we offer our own type of healing. News stories that span the rainbow of human experience. Nourish your mind. Weekdays on All Things Considered from NPR News and Escape the Ordinary.
All Things Considered at 5 p.m. Monday through Sunday on WTJX-FM 93.1 NPR in the Virgin Islands.
Sometimes it seems like the news cycle is one big runaway train headed way too fast to destination unknown. I'm Mary Louise Kelly. At All Things Considered, we plan our daily voyage carefully and take the time to see the important sights along the way. Don't worry, we'll still get you where you need to go. All Things Considered from NPR News.
All Things Considered at 5 p.m. Monday through Sunday on WTJX-FM 93.1 NPR in the Virgin Islands.
And we're back here on Analyze This. We got the Island Green leadership here. Everyone who knows me, they knows that I'm big on names, and I just love names. So in this case, Harith Warikma. You know what I'm saying? So, Mr. Warikma, good morning once again.
Thank you.
And good morning, Ms. Lawson.
And good morning to you.
Thank you.
Okay, good.
Good
now, Mr. Warikma, We went over the history, created 16 years ago in 2004, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And whose idea was this?
It was started by three architects, with Doug White, with Bill Willerod, and Rob Crane was part of it, and and they started as a small Island Green building, how to build villas in a green manner, because some other guideline for LEED did not apply to us here in the island. And I was, you know, I joined them around 2013 when I had a lot of leftover from my constructing my home. And I donated those constructed items, and my architect asked me whether I'll donate them. I said yes, and I did it. And that's how the Resource Depot got started.
Okay. So you've been involved with them for 7 years?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So your involvement is from 2013. Okay. And right now you are what? Just a member of the board, or you're the chairman of the board?
I'm the president of the board.
You're the president of the board. Is this a full-fledged company or an initiative?
Island Green is a non-profit, and the only person, our board, I'm a board member, is all volunteer, and we have a pretty impressive board of directors as well, including we have Mr. Rob Crane, who's the architect in St. John. We have Mr. David Hall, the president of the UVI, is on our board. We have Akhil Deshawal, who is the general manager of the Gallows Point Resort, is on our board. And David Giacomo, who is now leading the charge about Canil, he's on our board. We have Mark Lichtenstein, who started the VI Recycling Partnership, working closely with EPA, and he's on our board. Dr. David Minner, who's running the Earth Program at the Gifted School through Iowa State, he's on our board. Shana Essenson, who is the waste management main person in St. John, mm-hmm. she's on our board.
Shana Essenson.
Yeah.
She's actually on the ballot. I think she's seeking a board of election seat as well. That's good. That's good. So your board consists of how many members?
We have 12 right now.
12 members. Okay, good.
And
okay.
We also have Shana is a great addition to us, and she's very passionately helping us. I think she's making a huge difference since she joined the board.
Mm-hmm.
Curtis Penn, he's also on our board. And he was also part of the shipping the 300,000 cans.
Mm-hmm.
Randy Thurman, Jim Dabrowski, I think that covers, and Ralph Antonio. I think I covered everybody, right, Kelly?
Yes.
Okay, good. So this is a well put together, well created board and initiative. So 300,000 aluminum cans, right? And,
yes.
But you mentioned 150 tons. That's right. I was going to get to that. Did the division 300,000 into 2,000, and we got 150. So we're good there. Now, first of all, we want to give props, or like we say for those of we want to give righteous propers to Norma H, because they're making this available for transportation purposes free of charge. You said. Right.
Yes.
So, mm-hmm. We definitely want to give the Norma H folk their props for supporting an initiative of this nature. Right.
Absolutely.
The shipment adds to the nearly 500,000 Island Green Living, 500,000 cans Island Green Living has recycled in 2019.
Yep.
Right. So with this latest batch, 800,000 aluminum cans in total will have been recycled, right?
Yes,
that's right.
This is an impressive number. So first of all, we need to congratulate you for what you're doing here. Now, the goal is for this to be a full territory-wide initiative, or is it already?
No, that is the goal. But we need the government-private partnership collaboration.
But how you get so much? How you get all this hundreds of thousands of cans on tiny St. John, that is not even 100% a commercial island. You know, St. John is more than half park service. So how you get? What you doing? What are you guys doing with hundreds of thousands of cans over on St. John? What's up with that?
Well, I'm saying this tongue in cheek. I understand we're the highest beer consumption per capita in St. John. But it is the tourism.
It has to be the tourism.
We work with all of the concessionaries along the North Shore. So everybody really wants to participate in the program. We find that tourists over here often ask, where do you recycle? You know, and so this is at least one material that we can do at this time. And all of the concessionaries, like I said, on the North Shore, Trunk Bay, Cinnamon Bay, while they're not officially open, back open, they will be having can collection at their facilities, Honeymoon Beach. All of these people collect on their own and bring to us, and many of the restaurants do as well. So in addition to just residents on their own collecting, we have pretty good support from the restaurant community and the beaches here as well. So
what happened, Mr. Wirikma, that required the need for an executive directive? Thank you very much. You can have that. I was talking to the producer. What prompted the need for the skills of one Kelly Lawson to be incorporated into the Island Green fold, given how you haven't had that quality leadership until recently? Something had to happen where you realize, well, we need somebody from a managerial and a leadership, a day-to-day leadership standpoint, to take this to the next level. What was that turning point?
The turning point was Island Green was pretty much running on the resource depot, which is taking all the or nearly new stuff that goes to landfill, thrown out, versus we keeping it. And that was our main focus had been. And then we started crushing cans, but nothing really happened. And the hurricane came and blew all of our crushed cans away. So even though we saved some cans, but during the hurricane, it got wasted. But only once Kelly came on board, the reason we brought her on, she got a great experience for having been in the recycling industry, and she brings knowledge. Above all, she brings passion. So Island Green has been expanding in helping with Ban the Burn. I'm sure most people are familiar with that. That took a huge toll on to make sure our brown and green virgin organic material does not get burned 24/7. We also started an educational initiative with Julius Sprouw at one time and the Gift Hill School here locally to introduce the curriculum from pre-K to grade 12, where the green eco knowledge being imparted. And also to get the grants written, that was our biggest issue. So Kelly's good at that as well, because all of us are volunteers. Even though I do work about 40 hours a week or 50 hours a week on Island Green, I'm also doing other volunteer work as well. So that takes a lot of time, me to be involved. So having Kelly and with the support of many other board members, we can continue to expand to make a difference in the Virgin Islands. And our education has been a major component of it. But we back it up with crushing cans. Now we want to start crushing glass, because Waitima is looking to make sandbags. And right now they pay for it and bring it from outside. And if we get the proper funding to buy a glass crusher, we can be doing that, and we can fill the sand more than cover it. And the local concrete company has agreed to use it as well.
Now, Ms. Lawson, you came on board when?
Yes.
Ms. Lawson, you came on board when?
Yes. Oh, March of 2019. Yep, so I haven't been on just a little over a year.
Okay, so you're still a baby as it relates to your relationship with Island Green. Okay.
Correct.
Okay, that's good. Mm-hmm. Now, Mr. Warikma, I sense there's still some frustration where you're concerned in terms of forward movement, right? Without finger pointing or giving off a frustration dynamic or tone, what can we do to flip the frustration into exhilaration?
Thank you. Yes, I'm a proponent. I'm positive. We could, first of all, try to reduce our consumption. So importation reduction and bulk purchases, and then we can collect our trash and consider that as a resource versus trash. We have one person's trash is another one's a resource for somebody else. We can also do home gardening and community gardening. And this will be huge because during the pandemic, we had empty store shelves for groceries. And if we do our own gardening, you'll get wonderful organic food at home, but also now we'll be reducing the amount of food need to be imported. But this should be done territory-wide with all the farmers, all three islands, and the Commissioner of Agriculture and Senator Alison de Johnson, also chairwoman of the Agriculture Commission from the Senate. They all want to do it, and I think that could have the most immediate impact if we, all of us, school gardening, community gardening, container gardening at homes, we start doing that, and the farmers all work together in rotation, certain commodities, we can measure the success of it as well. So that could be a wonderful initiative, which we've been working behind the scenes on it.
Okay, good. Now, Ms. Lawson, how do we balance the need for a green mentality, right? A greater green mentality with the economic realities that exist as it relates to the tenets of economics, production, distribution, and consumption.
Right.
Because it's not easy. It's easy to say we're going to do it, but we've been stuck in our ways and been living a certain way, and our lifestyles are what they are. And to want to, you know, make this mental transformation that ultimately will be a way of life transformation. You know, how do we finesse this so that everything can pretty much still remain normal?
Right. I mean, you can imagine that if the landfills, you know, do close, and what will we do with that waste? Will we purge it someplace else? And what will the economic cost of that be? So, you know, you think of small ways. I think people get really overwhelmed thinking about all the different environmental issues that are plaguing our world really right now. So you just kind of hone in on yourself and, like Harris was saying, just focus on some small things that you can do. You know, buying in bulk is a great way to actually, you know, save money. We here on St. John have an option to refill some cleaner products. So you can bring your own container to this place and have them refilled. You're reducing the amount of plastic bottles or containers that are being added to the landfill. And at the same time, it's actually much cheaper that way to shop that way for your products. So buying in bulk is great. Like Hera said, if you can create a garden or compost at home, you're just reducing the amount of waste going into the landfill and using that resource back into the environment here. So supporting organizations like Island Green, becoming a member, bringing your material to us so that we can resell to the community and keep things out of the landfill, shopping at the resource depot, you know, buying used before buying new. That reduces the amount of material that has to be imported into the territory and keeps the money here locally in the economy while saving you money, because typically buying used is much cheaper than buying brand new. So these are small things that you can do to help. I hope I'm answering your question correctly.
No, you have answered the question, because, like I said, it's a delicate situation we're talking about here. Kind of similar to dealing with the COVID and with the governor's responsibilities. You want to, you know, always keep public health first and foremost, but at the same time, the territory needs to exist. And, you know, we're a consumer-driven economy, dependent on economic activity. We're not really manufacturing anything. So there has to be some movement. And in this particular case with Island Green, you know, you're asking us mentally to do things that will reduce the exposure, right? That's what this is about, right? The exposure of aluminum cans and all the things that we consume, but at the same time there are some that can be recycled, correct?
Right. Yeah, exactly. No. And I think people, you know, also need to, it's not always easy to do, but to think long term, you know, of what kind of world do we want to pass on to our children, you know, full of plastic trash in the ocean.
I agree.
Use that material.
We're gonna
put it back into the system. Sorry.
No, we're good. That's my fault. We're gonna take our last break in this hour, and then we'll be right back with the leadership from Island Green, based over on St. John and looking to take it territory-wide. We'll be back right after this.
You've already discovered that this NPR station is an excellent source of news and entertainment, but did you know that this station is a nonprofit? Public radio is for the public, available to all free of charge. That is possible thanks to people just like you who give what they can to support open access to information. So thank you for listening and for making all of this possible.
You can donate right now at WTJX.org.
At the Bank of St. Croix, we believe in the power of community. When nonprofit organizations are in need of support, we are there to provide financial assistance so they can continue to advocate for the causes important to our community. And now, when COVID-19 is forcing most businesses to close their doors, we are providing funding so they will not lose their businesses. At Bank of St. Croix, when you need us, we're here for you.
You can't control when a disaster strikes, but you can prepare. Make a plan today. Review your written plan regularly. Update your emergency supply kit to include personal items. Decide what to do with your pets if you need to evacuate. Identify which shelter is appropriate for you and your family. Make sure you are aware of any guidelines due to COVID-19. Secure your home and your personal and financial documents. Make a plan, build a kit, stay informed, and help your neighbors. Visit our website at doh.vi.gov.
Census 2020 is a sponsor of Analyze This. Census 2020 USVI ends October 18th. Have you been counted? Federal funding for healthcare, roads, education, and more depends on your participation. Get counted today at Census 2020 USVI, which ends on October 18th. And we are back here on Analyze This with the leadership of Island Green. And they have an initiative that has recycled 800,000 aluminum cans during 2019 and 2020. And according to this quote, with this latest batch, 800,000 aluminum cans in total will have been recycled, Wirikma said. This is exactly what we mean when we say much of society's waste is a valuable resource. We are hopeful this territory will utilize the $10 million grant from the Environmental Protection Agency, that's EPA, to recycle and compost our waste and expand this effort throughout the territory. Let's reintroduce soil separation and container deposit legislation, which will make it easier for the Waste Management Authority to deliver results. According to this release, recycling aluminum does not reduce the quality of the metal, so it can be recycled repeatedly. Together with last year's batch, Island Green's Living has kept a cumulative 25,000 pounds of valuable aluminum from wasting away unused in the territory's overflowing landfill. So the data is there and it's real. What's the next step, sir?
The next step is composting, because 60% of our waste generated is organic and compostable.
Explain to the public what is composting.
Okay, composting is when you cut trees down or the brown and green debris that's organic, or the food, or the leftover food, or the food that throw away, anything that is, not aluminium or not plastic or not paper, that natural nature has made, is mainly compostable. And that means it needs oxygen and nitrogen in order to disintegrate into compost, which is used for growing food and agriculture. So it's a huge benefit for keeping our territory naturally healthy. You go to garden stores, Home Depots, you go and buy soil compost from bags. Why do you have to buy if we can make our own? And we can. And the good news is the waste management brought back the former executive director, Roger Merritt, and he's going to continue the mission. I think that's the best news. And in less than 2 weeks of his arrival, I saw for the first time waste management used compost in one of their releases. And he's empowered Shaina to work with us closely. So I see some great leadership coming out of there to and this $10 million grant, if most of it could be used to do compost in all three islands. That means when they bring this trash, it needs to be separated before you get it in. And then you can turn this into mulch into compost. And there's a technology called Go Technology, which you can produce compost in 60 days. It is a blanket that goes over it. And Island Green is currently also in discussion with them doing a model program. And we are hoping with the Community Foundation of the Virgin Islands, we are hoping they can help us with a grant to get the mulching program, chipping program going. If we get that grant, then we'll have the feedstock to do the composting. So I guess that's one of the fastest, low-hanging fruit, or the cheapest way to reduce our waste is composting.
Awesome. Now, the Virgin Islands government, I know we were the beneficiaries of this grant from the EPA. What has been your relationship and your communication with Governor Bryant? I know that you had a good relationship with the prior governor, Kenneth Mapp. So what has that same level of communication carried over with the new administration there in support of this initiative?
Yes, this governor is, even his wife and daughter are committed to doing the green things. In fact, the governor came and spent a weekend in St. John, and he toured our chipping site. He toured our resource depot. He went to a composting site at Gift Hill School. So he got into the trenches, to kind of say that. And I guess continuing discussions, and hopefully even we're talking about today will further inspire that we all work to support one another, private-public partnership, and implement some of these ideas territory-wide.
Awesome. Ms. Ann Lawson, you wanted to chime in?
Yeah, I wanted to, just add the public-private partnership is, I think, a real way for us to catapult forward. Most, Harris mentioned that I have some experience in the recycling industry, and that's true. In Austin, Texas, my hometown, I worked for a private recycling company there. And when the city of Austin adopted the Universal Recycling Ordinance in 2012, my company got the lion's share of the contract to process the recyclable material that the city was picking up for residents. So it was a great partnership in that the government paid the private company to process the material, and then in turn the private company kicked back some of the money that they made on the material to the government. So in almost every organization I've seen, at least in the United States, recycling works that way. Either it's a public-run facility or it's a public-private partnership. And so I think if the VI government or waste management can look to, like, say, a perfect example on St. John is our organization. I mean, we're located right next to the Susannaburg Transfer Station. So we have already some processing equipment. We have the systems in place, and we can work with them to increase the amount of material that we accept and process, but we are a nonprofit organization. So, you know, we're constantly having to raise funds in order to keep our programs going. So I think having that contract with the government or something that could help us continue to do what we do, ultimately we're helping them as well. So I think those relationships are something that could be looked at more here, at least in that that arena.
I mean, currently we have 5 employees who are on payroll, so payroll taxes as well. So we will in turn support the economy as well. And once we start this composting program, we could be up to almost 10 employees. And part of that agreement we are trying to do is vocational training. We can train youth, and we can, anyone want to learn this composting technique, we'll start teaching them in January, February, March. And perhaps when St. Croix and St. Thomas opens up, they could be hiring these people because now we've given them the training. So it's part of that GO technology, that program we're trying to bring here.
Now, how do we, because you spoke on vocational education, the level of, have you communicated with the education leadership about displays and things of that nature, or in this case, now we're dealing with COVID and education is being done virtually. How do we get about making this information available to our children now that we have them in a situation where they're probably a little bit more focused than they would have been, given the different settings and not wanting to miss anything, taking advantage of this particular window to get them to be a little bit more understanding of what we're dealing with here with recycling in the territory?
We're waiting to sign our agreements with the company, and I think it will be a joint partnership with the support of waste management, hopefully with the government, DPNR and others, Public Works. Public Works have been very supportive as well, Nelson Petty's operation. So everything we're trying to do is as a partnership. It's not Island Green. It is a collective team of community. So we always try to put everyone in the pictures or the local. If I'm sure you saw the Daily News front page. We had again Michael March and others. It's not just about a leadership of an organization. We want to give ownership to the community who's doing it and who's supporting it. Together, I think we will make it happen in 21, have some kind of impact.
We also have, if I may add to that, Harris, you mentioned earlier that we work with the Iowa State University's Earth Program here on St. John's, and they had a capstone group of students who created a composting learning module for grades 4 and 5 last year, and it has yet to be implemented. With our latest grant that we just put a proposal in to continue our chipping operation, part of that is getting that learning module into both the Julia Sproul and the Gift Hill School here on St. John. So we're hoping to see that come to fruition later this year for the spring semester and fall semester of 2021.
Okay,
so that will be direct education on composting, how you can do it at home, and what it is.
How do we take it to the university level? I know President Hall is a member of your board, and how do we take it to that level of education as well? Because this really should be a full community involvement initiative.
Dr. Hall has introduced us to the dean of the College of School of Agriculture, and they, with very little notice, jumped in both feet and helped us to get this grant written. But I don't. That was another grant we were looking for in the agriculture side. Yeah, the UVI is very involved in their own way of doing things, which is fantastic. And we do have communication with them, and we help one another. We support them for their grant. They support us for our grants. And end of the day, the territory benefits. Dr. Greg Gicanel, with Kim Waddell, Paul Jobsis, and that's in the Marine area. And who do you work in that School of Agriculture, Kelly?
I'm sorry?
Who do you work in the School of Agriculture, the dean there? And
The school, there's a new agriculture program at UVI.
Yes.
This year. And, of course, a lot of what you are doing is agriculture related as well, because you did mention Senator Allison DeGazan, who is the chairman of Economic Development and Agriculture, being involved in this initiative. So this is far-reaching, and we want to wish Island Green all the success in the world. When are we going to hear another public display or something virtual from Island Green so the public can look out for it?
Maybe we'll plan something with you moderating, and we'll try to bring some intellectual capital and share with the audience.
We want to encourage people to check out our website if they want to see more information about what we're up
go
to.
Right ahead. Island Green. Go right ahead. Push it.
IslandGreenLiving.org. And consider a membership. You know, for $30 a year, you can help support the programs and help expand them. Join our mailing list, get our newsletter, you know, all that stuff. And then, of course, if you're on St. John or you come over to St. John, come and say hi to us. We have our Resource Depot open Wednesday through Saturdays, 9 to 2. And we're just below the Vitima building, right next to the transfer station in the Gift Hill area. All of our information's on the website. Donate to us, check us out.
Yeah, and
support, and also,
you know, you could reach out to this station, WTJX. Of course, you know, we're public broadcasting and national public radio, so reach out to us, and whatever we could do from time to time, we'd like to lend some support. Okay.
Yes, and I got the name of the agriculture, Usman Adamu.
Adamu.
Yeah,
okay, Dr. yes. Adamu. Dr. Adamu. Okay, good. Yeah, he's with the Extension Service as well, I believe.
Yeah, he was fantastic.
He's been very supportive.
Yeah, okay, very good. Helpful. And Dr. Peterson, Lewis Peterson, he's a part of that as well, right?
Yes. The one thing about the Virgin Islands is, if educated, if shared, very few, if any, will fight these green initiatives. So it's a matter of educating and providing them options. Even the Plaza extra person, the owner there. And they've been so helpful wanting to do things. So, I mean, there are a lot of organizations willing to support to do the right thing, such as the sunscreen issue.
Okay, good. Well, thank you very much for joining us, Mr. Harith Wirikma. You are Imran Khan or Sachin Tendulkar? Which country?
Oh, neither. I was born originally in Sri Lanka.
Oh, in Sri Lanka. Okay, yeah. Okay. That's not good, because, you know, one is from Pakistan and one is from India. And So I knew you were from over there. I didn't know which country. Are you from Sri Lanka? That's awesome. And Miss Miss Kelly Lawson, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you very much. And I think we're going to have this conversation again sometime in the future. Continued success with Island Green.
Thank you, Senator. You're reaching out are fantastic, and hopefully this will help the territory with some knowledge and supporting a green initiative in each island.
Okay, good. And Ms. Lawson, you want to say something in closing?
Just thank you so much for your time. Yeah, this is great for us to get a little exposure like this, and we'll keep doing what we're doing, and hope to see more people joining us.
Okay, well, thank WTJX and thank Ms. Zoe Zimmet, the producer. Awesome topic, awesome content here today, and glad we could be of assistance. Okay, thank you very much, both of you.
Thank you, Neville. Have a good day.
Okay, cool. Mr. Warwick might be good. I guess he left already.
He's already gone.
He's on, yeah. So, Ms. Lawson, thanks a lot. Okay, I appreciate that. You've been awesome today. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Okay, good. That was Harith Wirikma and Kelly Lawson of Island Green, a recycling initiative, and composting is the next step. We're going to keep the country running good and keep the country looking clean and feeling nice. All right? Running good, feeling clean, looking nice. That's the goal. We'll be back right after this.
The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect that of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.